Boy, it's amazing to see all the emotions stirred up by the Josh Duggar story. We've got some redemptive thoughts today as we come your way live from Holland.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we've had a great weekend of ministry here in Rotterdam in Holland. Some wonderful meetings over the weekend. The Spirit really moving deeply. Many, many hungry Christians crying out to God for their city and nation. And now my first day of teaching students in our Fire School of Ministry Europe. It is Memorial Day in the States, but we're coming your way live. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. Now, I've done this on some previous Memorial Days. I know it's a day when you may be off work, maybe have an opportunity to call when you normally wouldn't call, or an opportunity to listen live that you normally wouldn't have. So we open the phone lines for any questions you'd have, like on a Friday. You've got questions, we've got answers. So if you've been wanting to call in and haven't had the opportunity, even if it's off topic, we'll try to get to a number of your calls today. I do want to focus, though, on the uproar around the Josh Duggar story, revelation that when he was 14 years old, he sexually molested a number of girls then. And as this has come out now, what does that mean about his own life? And can someone truly be forgiven and restored? And is it right that TLC dropped the Duggars after years of successful program, apparently even more successful now than in the past? I wrote an article about that. To read it, go to my website, AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest article. It's really stirring up a whole lot of passion, and I want to talk to you about that. Are there some sins that God just doesn't forgive? Is it all the same to him? Are we self-righteous in certain ways? Are we saying that, well, God will forgive one person but not another? Or do we have a double standard? Do we say that God forgives if it's a Christian family, but if it's not a Christian family, we'll be pointing a finger at them? Are there certain sins that have social consequences that even though you're forgiven, you can't reverse the consequences? We'll talk about those things. Where is redemption in a story like this? So be ready to weigh in. I'll be glad to interact with you. Some of you have been interacting with my articles, some agreeing, some disagreeing. If you're able to call in, we can have a civil discussion. Again, the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. Before we get into any of that, though, it is Memorial Day. And I have to tell you, I've never served in the war. My mom was in World War II, but not in combat, of course. And she just served stateside, basically. My dad served in Korea in the Korean War, then was injured. Not wounded in battle, but was injured. So he was not in a combat situation. He served in different ways, actually, with medical teams and things. The more I think about the sacrifice of our troops, of men and women who served our country and serve our country currently, who have been maimed, who have been killed, who have been mentally traumatized, who have seen their families torn up. And then I think of all the problems in America today, and I think of, in certain ways, what seems to be almost our dysfunctional approach to some of the worldwide hotspots and how we're dealing with groups like ISIS. It just makes it all the more painful to think of the sacrifices that have been made, and it makes me all the more grateful that you think of young men and women, some of them 18, 19, 20 years old, paid the ultimate price, and obviously massively males have paid the price, but females as well, and the widows of all those men. We should be grateful. We should really do everything we can to honor our vets and to pray for wisdom for our leaders. We wage war wisely. But my appreciation on this Memorial Day.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Before I weigh in on the Josh Duggar situation, again, redemptively, everything we're going to talk about is redemptive on this live broadcast here on Memorial Day. Before I do this, I just want to play a couple of clips for you from Senator Ted Cruz. He is not one to back away from a confrontation, and he is a well-trained debater and a strong legal background. So I found this very interesting. I saw the clips. I said, we've got to play these. We've got to play these for you. So, Dennis, let's grab clip number one. And here's the background for you, okay? Ted Cruz is being interviewed, and over and over and over and over and over and over, he gets asked the same questions. So he made a campaign stop in Beaumont, Texas. This is Tuesday, May 19th, so last Tuesday. He was asked repeatedly by Kevin Steele from KMBT-TV about the issue of gay marriage, to which Cruz responds by turning the tables. And he specifically asked if he has a personal animosity to gays. So, Dennis, clip number one.
Do you have a personal animosity against gay Americans?
But let me ask a question. Is there something about the left, and I'm going to put the media in this category, that's obsessed with sex? Why is it that the only question you want to ask concerns homosexuals? Okay, you can ask those questions over and over and over again. I recognize that you're reading questions from MSNBC. That you're wincing. You don't want to talk about foreign policy. I recognize you want to ask another question about gay rights. Well, you know, ISIS is executing homosexuals. You want to talk about gay rights? This week was a very bad week for gay rights because the expansion of ISIS, the expansion of radical theocratic Islamic zealots that crucify Christians, that behead children, and that murder homosexuals, that ought to be concerning you far more than asking six questions all on the same topic.
Ah, exactly. But turn the tables and expose what is really going on. But he had more to say. Let's listen to clip number two. Again, he's interacting with a reporter. And you'd think there would be more important issues to deal with than this persistent question. But if you're Ted Cruz, at a certain point, you're going to turn it around. Clip number two.
Do you have a personal animosity against gay Americans?
Do you have a personal animosity against Christians, sir? Your line of questioning is highly curious. You seem fixated on a particular subject. Look, I'm a Christian. Scripture commands us to love everybody. And what I have been talking about with respect to same-sex marriage is the Constitution, which is what we should all be focused on. The Constitution gives marriage to elected state legislatures. It doesn't give the power of marriage to a president or to an unelected judges to tear down the decisions enacted by democratically elected state legislatures.
Ah, so he deals with the real issues as they are. He deals with the facts of them, and he pushes things back against these reporters. It is the right way to handle things. 866-34-TRUTH. So I've got a question for you. Why do you think people have such a hard time believing that God can really forgive someone who, as a teenager, sexually molested other girls? As a male teenager, sexually molested other girls and did confess it to his father and then ultimately to authorities and ultimately received help and apparently was not following Jesus at that time, truly came to follow Jesus. Why is it so hard for people to think that change can really come? Why? I've been interacting with some people on Twitter today, and they're like, no way God would forgive someone like that. Whoa, so your sin is not so bad. Your sin's not so ugly. The ugly thoughts you've thought, the things that you've done that only God knows about, the words that have been spoken, the deeds that have been done, they're not so bad. So God can forgive you. But someone who does that could never be forgiven. Oh, listen. The victims of sexual abuse must be high priorities for us as a society to remove the stigma from them, within the church and in society at large for them to be able to come forward and ask for help and not look, how many rape victims actually go ahead and report that they have been raped? Many don't want to. There's a stigma. Some countries overseas, if you're raped, you're guilty. I mean, there was outrage and horror in India some months back when two women were raped and then were hung for being raped, as if they had done something wrong. Obviously, we must be much more sensitive to the consequences of sexual abuse and how people can carry a certain trauma for life if they don't get help through counseling or through the gospel. I'm not minimizing that. God forbid anyone would hear me minimizing any of that. Nor has Josh Duggar minimized his actions. He's not minimized his guilt. He's taken full responsibility. And according to his wife, before they were married, he wanted to tell her what he had done before he was saved, before he was walking with the Lord. And look, here's a revelation. Even in Christian homes, kids commit sin. Even in godly homes, kids can go through ungodly times. The question is, how do the parents handle it? How do the parents deal with it? I don't know about you, but we had some challenges raising our kids, that even though we sought to be godly parents and set godly examples, we were far from perfect, obviously, especially I'll say that for me, but certainly we tried, Nancy and I tried to be godly parents, set godly examples. Our kids knew that we were serious. We weren't hypocrites or anything like that. And yet, with one of our daughters, she went through a real time of rebellion for several years. I mean, it was a real, real battle we had for years. And, you know, we laugh about it today. She was visiting us. I introduced her to my assistant the other day. We were joking that she was the great role model in her teen years. We were all laughing about it. She's 37 now. She's a great mom. She's a great wife. She and Nancy are the best of friends. She's so thankful she was raised the way she was raised, but she was trouble for some years. This happens even in Christian homes. But look, the God who forgave me for shooting heroin when I was 15 years old, the God who forgave me from stealing money from my own father, one of the most shameful things I ever did it several times. The God who forgave me for breaking into people's homes just for the thrill of it, to see what we could find. The God who forgave me for all my pride and ungodliness and lust and rebellion. And the God who's forgiven me for 43 years since, wherever I've fallen short, I never want to downplay his mercy and grace. I shared this last week, but when David Berkowitz reportedly came to faith in jail, and I say reportedly, I believe he's a genuine believer, loves the Lord, and is serving out the rest of his life behind bars, but is a genuinely born-again man who loves the Lord from everything I know and from people that are close to him. But when I heard here, the Son of Sam serial killer, the most notorious serial killer in New York City history, when I heard that he came to faith in jail, I doubted it. I said, no way, that's just another jailhouse conversion. It can't be taken seriously. That's what I actually said. I genuinely said that in my heart. Not him. He's gone too far. Based on what? Based on what data? Based on what scripture? Based on what deficiency in the blood of Jesus did he go too far? Oh, his sin has lasting consequences and he's behind bars for the rest of his life. And if he could go back and undo the past and bring back the lives that he took, he would do it. And I understand why family members of those that he killed or was involved with killing, why without God's grace, they could never forgive him. I understand that outside of God touching someone's heart, I understand that. But God forgives. Someone said on Twitter today, well, he forgives, but he doesn't forget. He forgives, but he won't forget. I said, actually, it says that he'll forgive our sins and remember them no more. And this fellow said, well, we'll see if this guy makes it into heaven or not. In other words, because Josh is a teenager, committed these sins against these other girls, that he can't be forgiven, go to heaven. Guy said, I'm a Christian. But we'll see if he gets in. I said, I don't think you're a Christian, sir. I don't think you understand forgiveness. there seems to be a real problem with your faith and your understanding of how great God's mercy is. Tell me what sin Jesus didn't pay for on the cross. Obviously, blasphemy of the Spirit, someone who utterly rejects God, they're saying no to him. But tell me, what sin Jesus didn't die for? Which lustful act did he not die for? Which hateful act did he not die for? Which act of deceit, which act of pride, which act of greed, which act of selfishness? Tell me which sin Jesus didn't die for and which sin he won't forgive if we truly cry out to God for mercy. Right, we'll come right back. Go to your calls. If you haven't read my article, see if you can grab a minute during the break. Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest articles.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There's a total of five victims, and the ages, if you do the math, the ages range probably between 5 and 12 years old.
This was a reporter from In Touch magazine, the magazine that broke the story about Josh Duggar. Of course, I knew of his family. And I have some friends who are friends with his family, but I never actually watched the show. Maybe I saw a clip here or there or something, but I never actually watched the show. And then when I was interacting with folks at Family Research Council, I have colleagues and friends there, a fine Christian ministry that always gets blasted for their stance for morality and righteousness led by Tony Perkins, I found out that Josh was working there. Of course, he's since resigned in the aftermath of this information coming to light. But what I'm finding really interesting, and it's not a surprise, is the level of anti-Christian animosity that has been stirred up. The anti-Christian animosity that has been stirred up by this report. As if, you see, those Christians, we knew it. Those Christian families, they're evil. Those big Christian families, and the patriarchal stuff of the brainwashing, you see, they're evil. And all these terrible things are happening behind the scenes, and they are just evil and bad. I'm looking at articles. Here's one by someone who claims to be a former believer. Vicky Garrison, five scary evangelical Christian teachings which set the Duggar family up for the molestation disaster. You see, it's the Christian teaching that's doing it. A lot of hostility. Where's it coming from? Is it just a matter of hypocrisy? Or is this now giving occasion for the enemies of the gospel to speak up? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Jason in Patterson, California. Jason, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yes, what's your perspective, sir?
It's interesting. I think I have a little bit of insight into the anti-Christian sentiment going on in our nation. I'm in the odd position of being a Christian, that God asked to choose abstinence over same-sex relations. And I did. I've been abstinent for over 5 years. But I remember the hate I used to feel from the church. So in their minds, I see the hypocrisy they're imagining. You know, consenting adults of same gender can't love and marry, but we are appearing quick to dismiss and excuse sexual violence against minors. Now, the interesting thing for me is I remember the message from the church over many years being gays go to hell, which oddly in itself isn't wrong. It's just incomplete. No one can have salvation without Jesus. So they've been singled out as abominations for so long. They are now loving that anti-Christian sentiment. I have friends that are gay on Facebook, and they are literally enjoying this. I mean, they're feeding it. It feeds their fire. For them, it's payback. It's long overdue. And the very, very sad part of the whole thing is the world loved gay people more than the church did. Mm. And that's what I grew up with. So Jesus got to me, and he's done so much for my life, and it's been amazing. But I remember what that was like. So I can see that it's not, at least from the gay community, I know there's atheists and skeptics out there that are feeding this as well, but yeah, among the gay people, we may be seeing anger, but I believe it's pain.
Mm. Yeah, Jason, let me just jump in for a moment.
Go for it.
Because I want to explore this with you, and I commend you for first following the Lord, even though you haven't seen same-sex attraction disappear or become heterosexual. You said, well, I'll be celibate. That's not easily said or done, and that is a high commitment to Jesus. Obviously, he can fill your life in so many ways, but what you're saying is very important for us to hear, and perhaps if we can recognize pain behind the anger, it will help us to be more compassionate in our witness and ministry, and will sensitize us. So let me ask you this first. In your view, since we are confronted all the time with issues like redefining marriage or perhaps gay scout leaders in the Boy Scouts, you know, things that concern parents, families, or gay activist educational curricula that we don't want our kids being taught. In your view, Jason, how can we do a better job of standing for social righteousness while making every human being feel loved and cared for? Can we do both at the same time?
I believe we can. I absolutely believe we can. I think it starts with teaching them the world is temporary. And especially like when I've talked to gay people and I'm talking and explaining why I'm such a fired up Christian, and I say to them, it's like, you know, if you understand that Jesus Christ loved you first before anyone else did, he loved you when you were at your worst, like no one else can, and he'll love you better than any other human on the planet, it changes your focus. You don't really get caught up in the world, and trust me, I get caught up in the world sometimes, but if I focus on him, I get a sense of peace, and then, okay, and I can, you know, God's empowered me to do this, so I can do it. And I think if we have a message that, you know, that focuses on the heart of the gospel, which was, like, for gay people, I tell them, it's like, you know, the beauty of it is you don't have to change. You can't change by yourself. You can't change. God does that. Jesus does that. That's the beauty of the gospel. You can't change. He will. He'll change you. He'll change you. You don't have to change.
So Jason, if we could really have God sensitize our hearts, understand the level of rejection that those who identify as LGBT feel from the church. And look, I understand people feel it from me because I take stands for social righteousness, yet if I can interact, if I can spend time with someone, they'll see that I do care. They'll see that there's no personal rejection of them as a fellow human being, that I simply believe that God has a better way. But if we could have a baptism of love and sensitivity and prioritize outreach and say, yes, we have to stand for social righteousness, but we prioritize outreach to individuals and we really give ourselves to understanding and listening to people like you, then I think we could hear more sensitively. Just the simple point that you make, that it's not anger as much as pain. Now, it may be manifest in anger, but what's behind it in pain, I think, is a very important insight. Hey, Jason, stay right there if you can. Our phone lines are jammed. I want to get to every call. The good news is I've got an hour and a half more to do it. Keep listening. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the banner. If you're not listening on the radio, click on the banner. Listen live. Keep listening. Oh, check out. You got to check this out. A Memorial Day special. A whole class on the separation of church and state. You can download it for $10 today. Go to the website.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The Duggars very vocally and actively opposed an LGBT civil rights ordinance in Fayetteville, Arkansas, where they live, and backed a referendum to repeal that law. And Michelle Duggar, Josh Duggar's mom, argued that this law presented a danger to little girls particularly because it would allow trans women to use restrooms. And it was in the best interest of children to repeal this LGBT civil rights law. And just the hypocrisy of Michelle Duggar out there demagoguing and demonizing LGBT people while at the same time having covered up for and protected her son who had actually molested at least five little girls that we know of is just staggering. It's galling. And the other thing I think to remember, and you know, I've been following this on Twitter and online, there's, I believe, a discomforting expression of almost unalloyed delight on the part of some people that I agree with politically, people on the left, I'm on the left. We have to remember as we talk about this that five little girls, at least five little girls, were abused and molested, and there's nothing here to take delight in or to celebrate.
All right, that was Dan Savage on MSNBC with Chris Hayes. And I do appreciate what Dan Savage said at the end, nothing to take delight in here. But of course, I categorically differ with his charge of hypocrisy because the Duggars are absolutely deploring what happened. And from what I understand, again, don't know every detail, they did say that they dealt with authorities and dealt with things properly and met with families, etc. I don't know that they were trying to sweep something under the rug or minimize it as much as deal with it the best way they understood to deal with it. And it was a trauma for the whole family, for all those in the family who knew about it. And the issue about a man who identifies as a woman using the bathroom, the sexual predator thing was not about that person. The sexual predator was about another man who's a total heterosexual man going into the ladies' room claiming to be a woman. There are documented cases of this. And that it can be traumatic for many women. Look, I heard from rape victims who testified, the woman who was raped in the bathroom, saying that she would be uneasy with a man coming into the bathroom dressed as a woman because she doesn't know who that person, she doesn't know what's going on in their life, and it would make her terribly uneasy. So Michelle Duggar is just being consistent, in my view. But I just want to go back for a moment to, all right, Jason's no longer there, but the point that he had made earlier is a very important point, that the homosexual community has felt specifically targeted by the church. He has felt specifically targeted, they've felt specifically targeted, attacked by the church, and now this Christian family, this famous Christian family, is caught in their own scandal. Again, it's a scandal unless you believe that there's redemption in it, which I do. And there's forgiveness and there's transformation. And the issues have been dealt with properly. And that's what Josh Duggar was back then. And he hasn't been since, as far as we know and understand. And God's transformed plenty of people. How many of you listening to me have a shameful past? How many of you listening to me have things that were in your life that if the whole world knew about it, you'd go off in hiding, or I'd go off in hiding, you know, or the thoughts that we thought getting revealed for the world to see. And yet God had mercy on us and forgave us and transformed us. And that's who we used to be. And we're not any more. The point is, though, as Jason was saying, that there is a sense of, aha, they're finally getting their due. Hence this extraordinary explosion of hatred, of anger towards the gospel, towards other Christians, especially evangelicals who homeschool and have big families. But it's revealing a lot of anti-Christian hatred in the society, is it not? All right, we come back. I'm going straight to your calls. Stay right there, and I'll get back on the phone to hear from you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining me live on Memorial Day. Whenever we can, we're live on a holiday day where folks get to listen live that don't normally get to or get to call in that don't normally get to call. So phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH. We just had a couple of people drop out. They were unable to keep holding, which means we've got a couple of phone lines open. You can get through now, 866-34-TRUTH. So right before the half-hour break, I didn't even realize this. I've been busy ministering in Holland, but I discovered that we have this amazing download. My friend Joe Infranco, a senior attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom, came a couple years back, a few years back, and did a teaching for us on the separation of church and state and what the issues really were, and went through historical documents and even told us about a case that was going to come to the Supreme Court about redefining marriage. His first manifestation of that was the court's overturning of DOMA, and said it's going to come down to Anthony Kennedy and where he votes. It's a great course, about 7 hours long. And you can download the entire course for $10. Yeah, today, Memorial Day special. I didn't even know we offered it until moments ago. I spotted it. So go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And when you go there, you'll see it right on the homepage. It's just for today, for Memorial Day. Let's go to Dothan, Alabama. JD, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Appreciate that, Dr. Brown. Hope you're doing well over there in Holland.
Yes, thank you.
Over there. Wanted to talk about the Josh Duggar incident. Coming from kind of a different perspective, maybe, but this is just my view, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. To me, this is I'm not surprised, first of all, when I heard it. I'm not trying to be negative, and of course, forgiveness and grace applies to everyone regardless. But wasn't real surprised, mainly because my view is legalism sort of breeds this kind of thing. When you're real hard on one area and focus on, issues that aren't really eternal, other areas are going to go unchecked that are more important, in my view. And I don't know if you're familiar with really what the Duggars are and what they believe, but they are extreme independent fundamental Baptist, King James only. And this sin seems to run rampant in that denomination. I'm not sure why, but you can Google, all kind of stuff on Wikipedia, news stories about this. It's not unusual. Starting from the top of the leaders of the denomination down all the way to churches, youth pastors being arrested, youth pastors' wives, pastors, just the main leader of the denomination recently got arrested, is in prison now, the exact same thing. So it wasn't really a shock to me. I think forgiveness is important, but I also think that people need to be aware of the results of legalism and where it can lead. And that's just my view. I don't know if I'm right on that or not, but that's just where I'm coming from.
All right. So just this is obviously your opinion and a large scale analysis here. So I'm just curious to know, why do you think, if your opinion is right, okay, if mm-hmm. you're right, why do you think such sins are, quote, common in these circles?
Mainly because my wife came from that denomination and is basically more like a cult than it is anything. And again, I'm thankful that she wasn't a victim of this, but we know several people personally that are victims and young people that are very affected by it. Matter of fact, 2020 just did a thing recently on that movement. There's groups on Facebook, I survived this denomination and came out of it. And it just seems to be a big thing in that. And I'm not trying to be negative or make assumptions, but it just seems to be a major problem with that particular sin. I don't know if I'm being over spiritual here when I say spirits can attach themselves to certain places, but I'm wondering if that maybe is the case. But I'm wondering, is this an issue that needs to be addressed and maybe people be made aware of if this is a problem in that circle,
Yeah, well, my response to what you're saying is, if you have legalism without the gospel, then you'll have all kinds of sin that gets hidden because people aren't really dealing with issues in the heart. They're dealing with outward behavior. So what you do is you suppress things and you hide things without really changing. You'll find that in various groups of different religions, Christian and other faiths, where all types of sensuous and sinful behavior is hidden under the surface and is covered up because there are systems of fundamental laws that everyone have to live by, but there is no real change of heart. Legalism is externally imposed righteousness. Legalism is laws without love, it's rules without relationship, it's standards without a savior, as opposed to the gospel, which changes people from the inside out. So that being the case, it wouldn't surprise me, given human nature and our propensity to sexual sin, it wouldn't surprise me that something like that could happen and be prevalent. That being said, I have no clue whatsoever that the Duggars do not have a vibrant faith in relationship with the Lord, that their kids aren't raised and weren't raised in a godly, thriving environment. And the fact that they raised this many and they all seem to be serving the Lord and wanting to please him, that would say a lot to me. So what I'm going to say is I cannot comment on the applicability of your statement to the Duggar family because I don't know them, and I hear good from friends of mine who do know them. However, the larger question of a fundamentalist, legalistic, religious sect, will it produce all types of suppression and covering up of illicit behaviors? I would say the answer is yes. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Dunkirk, Maryland. Bruce, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. I was going to comment on the earlier discussion over homosexual marriage. And I think, you know, in the culture, there's a large percentage who have rejected absolute truth versus absolute evil. And when you do that, you begin to descend down that perverse train of thought that's developed in Romans 1. And so the problem today is to come back to the point that there is absolute truth, there is absolute evil, and there is only one God-anointed marriage relationship, which is between a man and a woman. And I like your comments on that.
Right. Well, okay. Let me weigh in here and first say that the concept of absolute truth absolutely is rejected by much of the society. And consequently, the concept of absolute evil, and with that, the recognition of our own evil outside of the cross. The humanistic mentality is constantly exalting people, is constantly exalting us over God. God now somehow has to give account to us and be pleasing to us and meet our standards instead of us falling on our face before him and asking for mercy. And then I've been interacting with some people on Twitter, and they, you know, they're talking about homosexual issues, and the only thing wrong with it is that people make it wrong and society makes it wrong. And I said, well, you know, did God design a man to be with a woman or a man to be with a man? And there's no room for that. There's no willingness to hear that because God has no place in their lives. And I'll be interacting with someone about gay issues, and then when push comes to shove, they'll start attacking the concept of a God at all, because any type of absolute and bowing down to his ways or giving account to him is anathema to them. So I think a lot of things, we see the symptoms in the different standards that are held, but ultimately you get to the root of it. The issue is God. And people don't want God in their lives and don't want absolutes and don't want a morality they have to conform to. I wrote about this a few weeks ago, Psalm 2, where the nations want to cast off the yoke of the Lord and his anointed. And I see that today, an underlying attitude. I don't mean America is a theocracy. Of course it's not. But I mean individuals in God. We will not have the Lord as our God. And I've been turning around with some of these people and saying, who are you to play God with other people's lives? Who are you to say that someone can't be changed? Who are you to say that there can't be redemption? And what's so interesting with all of this is those who self-righteously reject God's standards, they refuse to see the possibility of real change. So it's not only do they not recognize the reality of sin, they don't recognize the reality of redemption. Hey, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you for the comments and thoughts, Bruce. 866-348-7884. I want to get right back to the phones on the other side of the break, and I want to briefly summarize for you the points that I made in my article, Finding Redemption in the Josh Duggar Story. If you haven't read it, go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on Latest Article. Make sure when you're there to click on the special download offer, Memorial Day only. You don't want to miss it.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let me go right back to the phones as we come your way live from Holland on this Memorial Day. We'll go to Eric in Cary, New Jersey. Thanks for calling. Cary, North Carolina, sorry. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you for your program, and I really appreciate your great exposition just now on the difference between legalism and the risk there and the relational faith in the gospel. That was very helpful to me. I'm going to listen to that again. I called about this comment regarding the Duggars, that the elephant in the room of this story that you did touch on just a little bit is the fact that the secular world or the anti-religious world, especially the media, has concocted this issue to just hate religion. They have hated the Duggars from the beginning for the reasons that you mentioned, homeschooling and faith and a big family and these other things. But none of that's coming through on the coverage. It's just, oh, this guy's so terrible, and what about this politician that stood up for him and this minister that stood up for him? And it's a jubilee of hate that is completely disguised as legitimate news reporting. And this is a big lesson Christians need to understand about what's going on in the media. It's not just a coincidence that they're all lined up like this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Again, I do appreciate what Jason, a caller, said earlier, a man who's same-sex attracted but is living a celibate life for the Lord, that many gays have felt attacked by the church through the years, which I understand, and singled out as the worst of all sinners, and now this is their aha moment, we got you, and so on. But he also said that behind the anger is pain. I believe that, but when I see the atheist attacking, when I just see secular media attacking, when I see the ugliness of some of the gay attacks, it's clear there is something else going on here, and a nerve has been hit in that respect. Let's go to one more clip from Dan Savage. He's on with Chris Hayes on MSNBC. Let's listen to clip number 11 again.
Dan, when we talk about it, particularly when religious conservatives talk about it, they want to point a finger at non-family. They want to point a finger at people that they define as the enemies of family or not from or having families of their own, LGBT people, particularly trans people increasingly, with these anti-trans bathroom bills. And that is what the Duggars have dug in on, as attacking trans people and opposing this LGBT civil rights bill in Fayetteville, where they were out there arguing that the threat to little girls in Fayetteville were trans women, when they knew, when they were covering for someone who had demonstrated that he, at least at that age, was a threat to little girls himself.
Has Dan Savage, by the way, publicly repented of some of the horrific, ugly things he's done over his career, over his very public career? Some of the extremely obscene things he said and done, some of the extraordinarily vile things he said and done against believers, against moral conservatives and others. I pray for his salvation, of course, and of course he's not beyond salvation anyway, not the slightest. He's a choice candidate for salvation, someone loved by God and for whom Jesus died. But I just wonder about that in terms of double standards. But the fact that the Duggars understand that their own kid, when he was 14, engaged in this behavior, what if you got someone like that who's 20 and now wants to use a bill, okay, wants to use a bill whereby a man who identifies as a woman can use a ladies' room and wants to go into that room as a heterosexual predator? That's what they warn about. That's what the Duggars and others warn about. And what about the woman who just feels traumatized when she knows that's a male in that dress or in that outsuit, in that pantsuit, that outfit, and is uncomfortable by it? What kind of bizarre world are we living in where you're going to make everybody else uncomfortable and people feel vulnerable because someone is deeply confused about their sexual identity, about their gender? Wow, wow, wow. 866-34-TRUTH. In my article, I made 6 points. Number one, Jesus really does change people. Number two, there's no excuse for sin, so own up to it. Number three, even godly families have kids who mess up badly. Number four, Josh can be an ambassador on behalf of the abused, even helping the abusers as well. Number five, we need to be careful how we judge. Watch out for double standards. Number six, there are consequences to our actions. Read the article by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Sam in Concord, North Carolina, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. I'm actually a student at fire school, so I'm getting you outside of the class.
Got it. I recognize your voice, Sam.
Yeah, and I got your book back to you. Sweet. But my question was, it's really off topic. I'm sorry for calling on the wrong day, but...
No. We opened it up for... We often open it up for off topic today. It's okay.
Oh, sweet. Cool. All right. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 15, talks about, did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? I was wondering if that's, you know, alluding to Pentecost, the giving of the Spirit between Christ and the church.
No, it's certainly not speaking of that there. It's Malachi, the context of the second chapter, Sam, is talking about the issue of God hating divorce and about God bringing the two together. The Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was the one God seeking? Godly offspring. So it's talking about the two coming together as one, as husband and wife, and then in the context of that, God's Spirit being imparted. Also, the Hebrew there is a little bit obscure. For example, the NET says, no one who has even a small portion of the Spirit in him does this. What did our ancestor do when seeking a child from God? New Jewish version says, did not the one make all so that all remaining life breath is his? And what does that one seek but godly folks? So you can see that translations on this are dramatically different, but it's certainly not pointing forward to the outpouring of the Spirit as they all come together as one at Pentecost. But if it is talking about giving of the Spirit, it's in the context of husband and wife coming together in godly union and upheld by God. But check 10 different versions. You'll be quite surprised with the different renderings. All right, got to go, but nice to hear from you all the way over here in Holland. Friends, I'm going to continue writing while I'm preaching here and teaching. The total time, just calculated, aside from all of our radio broadcasts, that my time in Holland and Italy, I should be doing 23 different meetings in four different locations. When I say different locations, I mean flying, long driving, different locations. So keep me in prayer, but I'll be writing. Stay in tune with us online. My bottom line today, don't underestimate the power of God's mercy and forgiveness. He can forgive the worst of sinners and transform. Boy, it's amazing to see all the emotion stirred up by the Josh Duggar story. We've got some redemptive thoughts today as we come your way live from Holland.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I hope you're having a good, blessed Memorial Day, hopefully getting some free time or some family time. And welcome to many listeners that are listening today that normally don't get to listen live. I'm in Holland right now, and in Holland it's 9 p.m., although it's totally bright outside still. It doesn't get dark here for a little bit longer. Having a great time of ministry in Rotterdam with Fire School of Ministry Europe and Fire Church here. Works that our grads have planted that are doing a great, great job in the city and region. In our class today, we had folks from Holland as well as from Portugal and France and maybe in America. Yeah, a couple of me and someone else from America. We're having a great time over here. And if you don't normally get to listen to the broadcast live, and you can today, I've got a few things I want to talk to you about, but we're opening the phone lines to any kind of question you want to ask me or anything you'd like to interact with me about, because we know this is a day, a holiday, where you may be free and able to call, whereas you normally can't because of work or school responsibilities. So 866-348-7884. We had some wonderful meetings over the weekend. The Lord really moving powerfully, and great hunger, thirst, great spirit of prayer, great worship, great receptivity to the Word. So do pray for us if you think of it. And again, on this Memorial Day, as I have been reflecting on some of the posts that we put up on Facebook, and some of the graphics that remind us, you know, the mass numbers of graves and things like that. We're not just talking about a minor sacrifice here. We're not just talking about a substantial sacrifice like going overseas, serving for a couple of years in the midst of danger and coming back healthy and whole. That's a serious sacrifice. But how many come back injured, maimed for life? How many come back traumatized for life? And how many don't come back alive? How many families, as we speak right now, bear the pain of a loved one who has suffered for our country? It makes me want to see America be all that it can be for God's purposes. It makes me want to see America be a city set on a hill. It makes me, and I don't mean that every war that we ever fought was fought perfectly, or that we have not made mistakes in some of the wars that we waged. The vets that came back from the Vietnam War had a very different experience than the vets who came back from World War II, because Vietnam War was ultimately a war that we weren't even fighting to win. So all of that terrible loss and sacrifice, and then they come back and they're almost reject it rather than hail as heroes. Someone listening to me right now, you may still bear the scars of that decades later. But when I see what's been sacrificed and how many young lives have been cut down, and when I realize how many military families there are, and there's just a tradition, I was reading about some of them today, and they say, look, this is, we feel as Americans, we've got to serve, we've got to give back to our country, and we've done it for generations. It makes me all the more want our country to be what God intended us to be, and to be a light, and to be a bastion of righteousness, and to be a bastion of helping the world around us with the abundance that we have, and helping export the gospel, the real gospel, around the world, not often the cheap American version that we export. So thank you to all of our veterans and families of veterans. We'll be right back, and we'll tackle some controversies today. 866-348-7884.
Fire we want, for fire we please. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, beautiful, far heroes proved in liberating strife.
You know, as I'm over here in Europe, Holland right now, and then been here since, when did I arrive? Friday morning, and then scheduled to be here through Friday, then from there to Italy, and then 4 days in Italy before flying back. So it's a long overseas trip, and been out of the country earlier this year already in England, and then later in Israel and some other countries. So I'm out a lot, and I have many international friends. And one of my dearest friends in the world, Jesu Padam from India, you've heard him on the radio with me in the past. You've heard me broadcast live from India in December. He sees the great role that America is supposed to play in the world. He sees our great role as far as being a gospel witness and a force for good in the world. So it's grievous. It's grievous when we export so much corruption, when we export so much sexually explicit material, when we export so much greed, when we sometimes take advantage of others. And you know, right now, we are putting heavy pressure on different governments to accept our view of, our government's view, not your average American or every American, but our government's view of LGBT, quote, rights and redefining marriage. I mean, I know for a fact countries put under real pressure from America. It's no secret. It's so grievous to see these different things. No, we've never been a perfectly Christian nation in our history. Obviously. Nor were we a completely Christian nation at our inception as a nation, of course. And yet there's so much good that God's put within us and so much potential for good, for life, that God's put within us. It's so grievous to see the condition of our nation right now in light of the sacrifice that has been made. By the way, I did not see this until recently. An Air France plane was escorted to JFK Airport in New York City this morning after an anonymous threat was made against the flight, one of several threats made to multiple airplanes bound for different U.S. airports, law enforcement officials told ABC News. Just became aware of that a little while ago. If we find out more of substance, we will let you know. All right, let's listen to Josh Duggar. Let me give you some background first. I know the name, the Duggar family, and extraordinary family, 19, 20 kids, reality TV stars for years, known for their committed Christian faith, but I've never seen the show. Perhaps I saw an excerpt somewhere along the line over the years. Otherwise, I've never seen the show. I've got some friends who are friends of theirs, but I don't know them personally as well. I've never interacted at length with any of them. And just had some brief email interaction with one family member, just copied with some others. So I've got no history here with them. But within the last week, Josh Duggar said yes as a police report surfaced about sexual molestation charges against him when he was 14 years old, at least five girls, underage girls, some of them apparently his own sisters, while they were sleeping or even awake, touching them inappropriately, that this has now created a major scandal. And because he was working with Family Research Council, he's immediately resigned from that. TLC has dropped the show. And this has unleashed an outburst of anger and hostility towards Christianity, towards evangelical Christianity, towards fundamentalist evangelical Christianity, towards homeschooling families, towards large Christian families, and has portrayed us as the ultimate hypocrites. And how dare you point out our sin? Look at yours. Now, the first thing to remember is nobody's whitewashing sin. The Duggars have not said this is unimportant, this is no big deal. No, they've consistently said this is horrific and inexcusable. And according to what I understand, Josh initially came and confessed to his father what he had done, and he was not walking with the Lord then. And as Todd Friel said in a blog, we need to shout out to the whole world. Yeah, God forgives everybody. He forgives perverts. He forgives corrupt Wall Street executives. He forgives murderers. He's a forgiving God if we turn to him. Absolutely. Absolutely true. Absolutely right. We need to proclaim that. That's not minimizing sin. That's saying there is redemption. But could someone explain to me how Christians saying, yes, we had to deal with sin in our own midst means Christians should not speak about sin in the society? If things were dealt with, if there was true repentance, if families were met with, if forgiveness was offered, if this is no longer who this young man is. I did all kinds of foul things when I was a teenager before I was saved. I was shooting heroin. I was broke into a doctor's office. I was a vile kid. I was full of uncleanness. Some of you said, yeah, I did all kinds of things. Well, is God a redeemer or what? It seems the world doesn't want to hear that. Listen to the words of Josh Duggar as he was speaking at an Honor Our Vote rally back in November of 2014. Clip number 5.
When Arkansas voters have been called on to stand up on key issues, they came back to those timeless principles of family,
yes,
rooted in faith. What we have to do when we approach these issues that are now being called controversy is we have to show passion, we have to show courage, and ultimately we have to stand up for what is right.
All right. So does that mean he's a hypocrite? He's got no business saying these things? He's got to go in the closet and hide for the rest of his life or get out of any type of Christian work or ministry because he committed these sins when he was 14. Now, they're serious issues, and kids can be traumatized by them, and the abuse could have been even worse. He was guilty of certain acts we're not going to say in detail here, but he could have done far, far more in terms of being really guilty of sexual assault and so on. But either way, traumatizing for the girls, it's, you know, serious sin issues, yes. Understood, not minimizing that. In fact, to me, one of the redemptive silver linings to this is that it brings the issue out to say many people are afraid to come forward. Many people think that they'll be cast out forever. The victims are afraid to come forward as if they've done something wrong. And we need to say, look, you're a victim. You were sinned against. There's mercy, and not just mercy. You don't need mercy. You didn't sin. There's wholeness and healing and restoration for you and a way to remove the shame. And the victimizers themselves need to know, if I come forward and confess, there may be social consequences. I may have to go to jail. I may be put on parole. I may have to go through a counseling program. I may not be able to work in certain environments, but I'm going to come and get clean. I'm going to come forward and get clean. There is a silver lining that can come out of all of this. But the idea that because you messed up, now you can't stand for righteousness, where does that come from? I understand if there's a perception of hypocrisy. You say, well, they're just, you know, they damn one sin, they damn homosexuals, but they don't care about their own sin. No, I'd say that they take all sins seriously. That's why Josh Duggar was dealt with seriously, and that's why it was a crisis for the family to work through together, and that's why they're passionate about righteousness today. But some of the people I know who are most effective in drug ministry are former addicts. You know, when Don Wilkerson was on the air with us a couple months ago talking about his book, kind of his life story, Confessions of a Hope Pusher, you know, he said that the best workers they have in Teen Challenge are the former addicts because they know the way addicts think and they know the games they play and the gimmicks they use, and they have a much better ability to discern who's sincere and who's not because they live that way themselves. They came out of it. Some of the finest preachers and teachers of the word I know today lived filthy lives before they were saved. They were decadent. They were unclean. There are people who were violent. They're in jail for their crimes. They got radically saved in jail, and now they're spokesmen and spokeswomen for righteousness. That is redemption. There's absolutely redemption. That being said, other lessons to be learned. There are ways to handle things. And if a crime has been committed, If a crime has been committed, if it's confessed to you as a pastor or an elder, then you must report that to authorities. What do we say to Planned Parenthood? Let me just say this. If you have a family involved and something happens within the family and they say, we're dealing with this and no one wants to press charges, or if you have the family of the victim that comes and the victim says, I don't want to press charges, I want us to deal with this within the church, and everyone feels that way and it's dealt with rightly, that's one thing. But otherwise, something is reported to you as a leader, there's a responsibility to report it to authorities. Anyway, we'll be back. More to talk about. 866-348-7884.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret.
Ballad of Silver Grace, or commendation or appreciation for our veterans and families of veterans on this Memorial Day. As we talk about the price that was paid for our freedom, can I move to the cross for a moment and speak of the ultimate price that was paid for our freedom, that we could be free in America to a certain extent, we could have various freedoms that other nations envy and still be bound by sin, bound by fleshly habits, bound by the world. And there is freedom, there is liberty in Jesus. If you're listening to this broadcast and you're bound, you're not free. I sit here and speak to you as a free man. You say, well, you talk about serving God. That's the ultimate freedom, is serving God, to tell you the truth. The ultimate freedom is when you find the will of God and discover his purposes for your life. But are you free? I sit here free. I'm not bound by a habit. I'm not bound by a life-controlling substance. There was a time in my life where I was, and God set me free from that. And then there have been times in my life where just foods I ate were life-controlling. I sit here free by the grace of God. I sit here free from the drugs I used as a teenager, free from the anger that used to consume me as a teenager, free from the junk, the uncleanness of life. How? Because Jesus sets us free. If the Son of God sets you free, you are free indeed. So whoever you are, wherever you're listening, anywhere around the world, on internet, live on radio across America, right now, cry out to God if you're not free and say, God, help me. God, set me free. God, forgive me. You say, but you don't know what I've done. That's the power of the cross, and that's what's such a scandal to people. Oh, he'll forgive that one, but not this one. We get so self-righteous. We get as if our sins aren't so bad. Someone else does what we do. That's unclean. That's terrible. That's unforgivable. Oh, so what we do is not so bad. But when someone else does the same thing, that's damnable. Or, of course, God forgave me because he knew I didn't really mean it. He knew that that's not really in my heart. But that one, they're wicked. Ah, that double standard. Remember, Jesus said the way you judge others is the way that you will be judged. I want to do my best to have as much mercy as I can and much compassion and much long-suffering and much understanding as I can, because God has had extraordinary patience and mercy and grace towards me. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, are you Catholic? Are you a Catholic listener? If so, what do you think about what happened in Ireland? Traditionally, a strong Catholic country. Matt, what percentage of folks in Ireland profess to be Catholic? Let's just check that. But very, very strong victory for gay activism there. The first nation by popular vote to actually vote as a nation, so not elected officials, not judges, but as a nation voted and said and said that marriage is the union of any two people, two men or two women, as well as a man or a woman. What do you think about that as a Catholic? Why do you think that may have happened? I have some ideas. I may write on it either a short article or a full article, but why do you think that happened in a traditionally Catholic country? So let me say a few more things. Here we go. Thanks, Matt. 2011, 84.2% of the citizens of the Republic of Ireland and 43.8% of the workforce of Northern Ireland self-identified as Roman Catholic. So how is it that a nation with that percentage of Catholics could very, very strongly vote for the redefining of marriage? Yeah, and that our source for that, Wikipedia, so hopefully accurate, but I figured it was a number as high as that. Tell you what, let me answer that question. You can weigh in as well as a Catholic, but let me answer the question. Number one, traditional religion, if not vibrantly held by the people, will not stop the onslaught of gay activism. It's not going to happen. Unless it is vibrantly held by the people, it is very fragile in terms of its ability to have a strong moral influence. That's number one. Number two is this. The Catholic Church went through various scandals in the 1990s, sex scandals, because of which it lost its credibility with many people in the nation. So even though you still have professing Catholics, the church lost its moral voice, its moral authority. And that's happened a lot here in America with scandals among our major leaders, pedophile scandals in the Catholic Church and heterosexual and homosexual scandals in the evangelical Protestant church and monetary scandals as well. So when we are viewed as hypocrites, and that's how people are viewing the Duggars right now, I believe wrongly so, but that's how they're viewing them. It undercuts our moral authority. That's what happened there as well. So the church leaders were not as vocal as they would have been and could have been about this. And three, they weren't ready for the onslaught of aggressive, savvy gay activism funded by large amounts of money from the West, in particular from America, as I understand it, as I've read reports. I've got to look into it more deeply, but that's very common. Gay activist money from the States and straight allies of gay activist money, their money, backing gay activist causes around the world. And, you know, you set up your little budget, you've got your little group, and now next thing you have this massive onslaught against you that's savvy, that's slick, that's media-friendly. Doesn't look like the Irish opposition to this was ready for it at all. Of course, doesn't change the real meaning of marriage. And this is a social experiment that over the long term, I believe, will be self-defeating. That's one of the theses in my book coming out in September, Outlasting the Gay Revolution, where homosexual activism is really going and how to turn the tide. But these are very serious days, but also days in which God in his love and mercy wants to reach out to those who identify as LGBT and show them his salvation. Hey, listen, very, very special announcement, Memorial Day only, so please give me your best year. This is just for today. A few years back, during the summer, we set apart our entire summer school, and we did 6 weeks, 1 week each, with a different lecturer called our School of Cultural Engagement. And we had a terrific week with attorney Joe Infranco. He's a lead attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom, a friend of mine for many, many years. And he taught in detail about the meaning of separation of church and state, went through court cases, went through different rulings, went through historical documents, a real eye-opener. 7 hours. You can download the entire 7-hour class for $10. Correct. Yeah. $10, but you got to download it today. Go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. You'll see it right on the homepage. Take advantage of that. It's an offer you don't want to miss.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
There's a great quote from Todd Friel. He had written a piece in his blog, I saw it on Christian Post, about Josh Duggar's situation. And I only saw his after I'd written and posted mine, but we both quoted from 1 Corinthians 6, the list of sinful practices. Those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God, but then such were some of you, the power of redemption. But he raised a great question, so I tweeted it out a little while ago. Have we been so consumed by the culture wars that we have failed to engage in the spiritual battle for souls? Great question. It's not either or, it's both and. But you better believe that our priority is always winning the lost, making disciples. And then with that, as disciples, we engage the culture. 866-34-TRUTH. I did this at the end of the last hour. I'm going to do it now for this last half hour. What we normally do on Fridays, you've got questions, we've got answers. Things that are completely off topic. Maybe you have an opportunity to call in on Memorial Day, but you normally wouldn't have the opportunity to call. Give us a call. Any question you want to ask me in any area of expertise I have or anything that ties in with any discussion we've had with any guests on the broadcast in the past, 866-348-7884. And if you have not yet read my article, Finding Redemption in the Josh Duggar Story, please go to AskDrBrown.org and click on Latest Articles. I want to press this point a little bit more. The world has a really hard time with the idea that God can change sinners. The world has a really hard time believing that people, to the core of their being, change. That it's not just for a little while they stop doing certain things, but rather they are no longer who they used to be. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed. Look, everything has become new. I am not in any way criticizing, demeaning, speaking down to those who say of yourselves, I am a recovering drug addict. I am a recovering alcoholic. In no way am I speaking down to you, criticizing you, demeaning you. In no way. And if that's where you find yourself and that helps you deal with life, that's between you and God. Be strong in the Lord and never look back. I personally, when it comes to my changed lifestyle with eating, I joke with people that I live as if I'm a recovering food addict, meaning that I'm not going to experiment, by God's grace, I'm not going to experiment with certain foods and find out what would happen if I ate them again. What would happen if I had chocolate? What would happen if I had a slice of pizza? What would happen if I had some other meal that I don't eat anymore? So I'm not here to experiment or to find out, okay? In that regard, I'm living as if I'm a recovering food addict. But when I got set free from drugs, I was free. I've never looked at myself as a recovering drug addict. I've never looked at myself as a recovering needle addict, because my real addiction was to the needle more than to any particular drug, although I shot heroin as often as I could and other terribly destructive drugs. When I got set free, I got set free. And there were other parts of my life that were really deep and ingrained in me and part of who I was. And Jesus really changed me. I've been growing ever since. And sometimes I step back. I don't mean drugs or anything like that, but an area where I may have been closer to the Lord in one area, then you lose a little ground and you realize, okay, I've gotten in the flesh a little bit here. I need to draw close. But look, many of you could say, I used to be this. I used to be a violent, hateful person. Now I love people. I wouldn't hurt a fly. I used to be a sex addict, and now I'm living a holy life, self-controlled by God's grace. The world seems to have a hard time with that. Hence, in their mind, Josh Duggar is a predator. He has his own kids. They can't understand that you can really change.
Send it, Lord.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire as we come your way live from Holland in Rotterdam. Please do pray, if you think of it, for the ministry. More teaching this week. We've got a Wednesday night meeting, really praying for revival and outpouring in the city and the region. And then Friday, travel over to Italy, have three meetings on Saturday, especially reaching out, ministering to young people. And then Sunday, speaking at a key church in Sicily, and then a long drive, and then a conference, a two-day conference with pastors in Italy on the subject of hypergrace. So great to see hypergrace come out in Dutch and also out already in Italian. There's a real interest in this because of the danger of the hypergrace message. And because of our love for real pure grace, there is danger in preaching it in a wrong, imbalanced, and exaggerated way. Wonderful truth mixed with serious error is potentially deadly. 866-34-TRUTH. One of the things that I said in my article, and I'm going to answer an off-topic question in a moment here, as I said I would do some of that on the air today. One of the points that I made in my article is there's no excuse for sin, so own up to it. There's no excuse for sin, so own up to it. Now, according to the reports and according to Josh Duggar's public statement, he's saying what I did is inexcusable. He is not minimizing it. He's speaking of the ugliness of what he did, but obviously speaking of it from the viewpoint of someone who is redeemed, someone who is forgiven. I quoted Proverbs 28:13, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. And then towards the end of the article, I said there are consequences to our action, but with God, our worst mistakes can become stepping stones to spiritual growth. So sometimes we do a particular thing, and for the rest of our lives, it's on our resume. You know what I'm saying? You mess up in a public way, and everybody knows about it, and you have to bear the consequences of it. It's part of what happened to you. Even if you're forgiven, even if you're changed, there's still that memory, or you were involved with that scandal, or you were part of that, or you committed that sin, or you did that wrong thing. And in some cases, it stops us from doing certain things. You know, there's some people who could never be effective politicians because they messed up in a certain way publicly, and their opponents would just play that against them forever, and it'd be very difficult for them to move beyond it. So God can forgive you, and yet there are consequences for sin. We don't minimize that. If there is more to this story than we know, if there is covering up, and I certainly hope that's not the case, if there is covering up of sin, if there was seeking to push things under the carpet and pressure others to not press charges, if authorities were never properly at any point brought into things, if there was a stonewalling of police or people trying to get involved, if somehow reality TV became an idol and we can't let this out because it would destroy the TV show, if any of those things would be true, which I'm sure the critics are saying, then obviously everything I wrote in the article is 100% true in terms of the principles, all right? In terms of the overall principles we lay out, yes, 100% true, but it would mean that there wasn't real confession, that there wasn't real repentance, that there was covering up, that things had not been dealt with properly. Because one of the things I said was, from what I'm hearing, there is a confession, yes, I did this, from what Josh Duggar's wife says, that he wanted to talk to her about this, to tell her what he did as a boy before they were married, so that she would know that there wouldn't be any skeletons in his closet in that respect. So I based the article on what the father said as well, that they did deal with things as a family, that they did go to authorities, that they did meet with families of those that Josh had sinned against and committed this serious offense and crime against. So that's what I based the article on. If it turns out that there's misinformation, that there was lying or covering up, then obviously I understand all the more how people could be enraged. I understand all the more how people could say that there's hypocrisy. I certainly understand that. But right now I'm believing for the best. And the one thing for sure that nobody wants to minimize in this is the degree to which God cares about children, and God cares about the innocent, and God cares about the victims. You know, let me throw something out here. There are gay activists who are absolutely incensed right now, and some of them glorying over this. And aha, you're accusing us, but look at you. You Christians, you're filthy, and look at what you do, and you sweep it under the rug, and you minimize it, and how dare you point a finger at us. What we should all agree is that all sin against children is especially heinous. And, of course, Jesus says that himself. Be better that a millstone was hung around someone's neck and they were cast into the depths of the sea than they offended one of these little ones. And that in heaven their angels are always looking at their Father, the Heavenly Father. So this is serious. This is grave. So please explain to me. Somebody explain to me then how these same activists who are bashing Christians here, and I understand where they're coming from and what emotions they're letting out. But please explain to me, if it's all about the children, 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 which it should be in terms of our protecting them and caring for them, how some of the ones bashing the Duggars and mocking them the most are militant pro-abortion people. How's that work if it's all about the children? Someone explain that to me. If it's wrong to abuse children sexually or be violent to them outside the womb, why is it all right to be violent inside the womb? Someone explain that to me. Yeah, I know that offends some of you, but I'm just putting it out there. And then please tell me why some of the same gay activists who are bashing the Duggars advocate for gay Boy Scout leaders, because the Scout leaders have the right. They should have the right to do this. It's not about your rights. It's not about your rights. It's about the kids. What's in the best interest of the kids? And do you have male heterosexual Scout leaders for female troops? I'm not talking about families going out together or couples going out together with mixed groups. I'm talking about, do you have male heterosexual leaders of Girl Scouts? No, for obvious reasons. Are most males sexual predators of children? No. Are some? Yes. So you have a certain percentage of men who are sexual predators of little girls, young girls. So you don't, for that and several other reasons, make them Girl Scout leaders. And there's also the role modeling thing and all of that, and it's women with women and so on. Well, why aren't people thinking about the kids first? Just another question I would like to ask. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, here's a question from Jason about God. Having faith in someone or anything requires being willing to let go and fall back, so to speak. Trusting that what we have faith in won't let us down, and understanding why we can trust him. So nice to know, but is this working? How can one let go freely when the trust is already broken many times? How can you trust God when he lets you experience that you cannot rely on him all the times? Even when you ask something you need, he considers it non-essential. I'm in my end days, and here I am asking God what I need, and I'm still waiting for God to show his love for me. How can anyone dare to say, trust in God? Come ye all who are heavy laden, I will give you rest. I mean, these promises of a trust to scripture being, but look here, I'm still waiting for his help to come. How long do I have to wait, Dr. Brown? Is this not the trust that you impart on God and God doesn't deliver? Therefore, he broke his promises, and then you say God doesn't owe me anything? When one broke a promise to you, doesn't mean that he owes you something? Then why can't this statement apply to God? Jason, I appreciate you writing such a personal, painful question. And when you speak it being at the end of days, either you mean as an old man or because of sickness, you're at the end of your life. And I hate the fact that this has been your experience. I hate the fact that this has been what you've lived through and gone through. I hate the fact that you found God unreliable and undependable in your own view and your own experience. I can tell you honestly that following him for 43 years plus now, I find him to be utterly reliable and utterly trustworthy, and that if there's ever a fault, it's on my end. But I understand your own experience has been very different. I would only say this, that if you will determine to trust him no matter what, you say, how can I do it? Let me just answer from my own heart, my own life and experience. If you will determine, I'm going to trust him no matter what, you will find him utterly trustworthy. If you will determine, I'm going to put my faith in him and live and pray and act as if he is real and true, no matter what. If you will absolutely determine to do it and seek him diligently, like you would seek for a life cure for cancer with your dying breath that could save your life, you will find him and you will not be disappointed. And he has been there for you more than you realize.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's just see this picture here. All right, here I am broadcasting from our studio here, our makeshift studio. Maybe I'll post that. Ah, you know what, though? They can't see, Frank, they can't see the Free Holland shirt. All right, so tell you what, let's try it like this. I'll actually look up here. And we'll post this. This is a shirt that was made by our Fire School of Ministry Europe folks some years ago before the school was full time. All right, how's that? Is that better? Okay, so we got our grad Frank Pott, who leads Fire Church and Fire School of Ministry Europe, and he's here taking a picture of me, and we'll post that so you can see what our broadcasting studio looks like. Okay, we got it with my cool shirt as well. Neat. 866-34 Truth. Let's go to High Point. I was going to High Point, North Carolina to talk to Orlando, but that won't happen. Let me talk to you from my heart for a moment. You see, you always talk from your heart. I know, just it's true. Let me just say this. There may be something you've lived with for years and years and years, and it's always there in the back of your head because you never came clean with it. And it's always there. It always hinders your walk with God. It hinders you pressing in because it's almost like the devil's holding you hostage, or your own mind is holding you hostage and saying, if I ever come clean with this, then I'll be destroyed. But I can't ever really effectively serve the Lord because of what happened in the past. So I just have to kind of stay back. And it's almost like you have this truce, like, okay, I won't really press in. I won't really aggressively go after the Lord. But I want to serve him, but I can't because of this thing in my past. But I can't dare confess it. I can't dare come clean. First, I want to remind you of what Scripture says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You say, well, you don't know what I've done. Well, if it's on the level of a crime, if it's on the level of something that you did that broke the law and that is of serious consequence, you need to go and confess it to the police. You need to tell the authorities. But assuming that's not the case, let's say that when you were on vacation with your family, you were out one night and met somebody and had a fling and had some one night stand and felt miserable and terrible and asked God to forgive you. But you never told your spouse, and the thing hangs over you. You say, my spouse would never forgive me. You need to come clean. You may need to go and talk to your pastor first or spiritual leader and say, hey, this is what's going on in my life, and I need to figure out how to address this. Can you give me some wisdom? But sometimes you won't find freedom. Maybe you've got a secret porn habit. Maybe you've got a secret gambling habit. Maybe there's something else going on that you're so ashamed of. It's the devil's way to keep you in bondage by fear. It's the devil's way of keeping you in bondage so that you won't break free. Look, a lot of things, especially if it's something going on actively in your life, okay? I'm not talking about telling the whole world. I'm talking about telling those that you need to tell. sometimes the only way you'll get free is by confessing. You say, oh no, the consequences would be disastrous. It may be the best thing that could happen. And sometimes it's confessing to the person you most do not want to confess to. And that, once you do that, it makes it so impossible to go back to things. Once you do that, it so forces the issue out, but it also opens the floodgates of mercy, because you're not the only one struggling. You're not the only one bound. You're not the only one hurting. You're not the only one who's messed up. You're not the only one who has been guilty of these particular things. And to the extent you can believe that about yourself, to that extent also, you find yourself in real spiritual danger. No one's saying this is easy. Look, you know, I remember just as a new believer that my best friend told me something and said, look, whatever you do, don't tell my girlfriend. Don't tell my girlfriend. And, you know, she was also in the church and friends. And somehow I ended up telling her. He hadn't sinned. It wasn't that. It was just something else that I was supposed to tell. I forget how it happened, but it's like, oh, no, I can't believe I told her. And I remember we were going to a prayer meeting together, and we were having a problem with transportation and getting there. And I'm thinking, and we were supposed to be leading prayer for a while. It was like 24 hours, and we had our shift, and we had to get there at a certain point. And we can't get transportation. We can't get a ride. I'm thinking, and I started to feel pressure from the Lord, until you tell him, until you confess, you're not going to get a ride there. You're not going to get transportation. And I just remember feeling this pressure and feeling awful. And I mean, that was a pretty minor thing. And he thankfully handled it gracefully and graciously. But look, there have been things that, you know, I remember here, my own dad, when he asked me if I'd stolen money after I was saved, and I told him I didn't, and then I was smitten with conviction from the Lord and went back to the room and said, Dad, I did. I did. You know what he told me? I know many fathers are not like this, but you know what my father told me? At that point, a non-believing Jewish man, not believing in Jesus. You know what he said to me? He said, the moment I saw the money missing, because I'd taken it a particular way and tried to cover it up, he said, the moment I saw the money missing, I knew you had taken it, and I forgave you on the spot. But what hurt me was that you didn't come to me and tell me you had a need. That was my earthly father. Obviously, it became very easy for me to receive forgiveness from my heavenly father. But I remember just to tell him the truth seemed like the hardest thing in the world. Sometimes you tell someone the truth, and they get outraged with you and furious, and that's that. But look, I didn't plan on getting into this. And perhaps you're just listening this day. You never get to listen to the show because you're working. It's just Memorial Day. You happen to tune in. Perhaps it's God speaking to you through me. Come clean. Would you do this? If you do come clean, if you do confess, and you do it because you want help, you do it because you want freedom, you do it. You don't confess you're an alcoholic to a fellow alcoholic. You go to someone that's free. But if you do this, if you do make confession, and if you do find that this is the beginning of the path of freedom for you, would you write to me? Would you drop me a line at info@askdrbrown.org, info@askdrbrown.org, and say, hey, I was listening to the broadcast that day. Maybe you don't know Jesus at all. And as you're listening to these words, you realize, hey, I've got to get right. I'm in sin, and I need forgiveness. Hear me. Whatever you've done, however ugly, however far you've gone, God will forgive you. God will have mercy. There may be social consequences. There may be crimes committed where you do jail time, but God will forgive you. And you can be more free than you've ever been, even behind bars. Maybe you're listening to me behind bars. Every sin, forgiven, forgotten, and God looking at you as righteous and holy through the transformation that comes through Jesus. And I pray that you won't put this off, that you will get right with God. All right, friends, remember to go to the website, askdrbrown.org. Take advantage of this Memorial Day special offer. Download a 7-hour class on the separation of church and state for just $10. Yeah, but you got to do it today. Download it today on the website. My bottom line, if we confess our sins, God is not just faithful, but he's just to forgive us, because the price has been paid on the cross.